Right. Thank y'all for having me back. Brittany's not with me this morning because she's trying to, I guess she's running our little fall festival taking place next week. So she's got a meeting this morning. Got to make sure everybody's going to be there. Ain't nobody going to be late, all that good stuff. We're going to start Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right. 2 Timothy 4. Before we get started, I just want to go ahead and tell you, I don't know nothing about what's going on around here. Just go ahead and lay that out. All right. Lesson this morning is on what a church should expect from the pastor and what a pastor should expect from the church. I don't know your business. Okay. I don't know what the Lord has in store, if you've already decided on one, if you're still searching. I ain't got a clue. I ain't talked to nobody. All right? But the last several times I've been down here, I thought the Lord would have me do that, and for one reason or another, He'd swap it up, and then this morning He gave me liberty to do it. So that's what we're going to go over. If I step on toes, it's the Lord. It ain't me. Don't shoot the messenger. All right? If I hit something, you're like, He has to know. I don't have none of you on Facebook. If I did, I'd unfollow you the second I clicked confirm, okay? That's how I do everybody. I do on my own mama that way, all right? I don't know nothing my mama puts up on that stupid thing, okay? I ain't like that. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. All right, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All right, and then let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. All right, so number one, let's go over what the church should expect from their pastor. First of all, they should expect him to preach the Word of God. Now then, we just read people will seek to themselves preachers having itching ears or teachers having itching ears, right? The Bible says over in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Whoever comes in, this ain't the only church, all right? Any church that is lacking a pastor, and there's a bunch of them right now, all right? You're not alone in that. You need to find somebody that will preach the Word of God and will not falter to the right hand or to the left. Okay, now then, let's make this distinction. There is a difference between preference and between Bible, between doctrine, right? Some people have a preference that their wives wear a dress down to their toes. Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Some don't give a rip as long as it's modest, right? That's a preference. The Bible says to dress modestly. It didn't say you had to have a dress down your toes. I know a big old stink stirred up in a church over that one time because they were having a Christmas parade and the youth leader told the little girls to wear sweatpants under their skirts, right? Because they're on the float, people would see up their skirts, and it was December. You don't want them to freeze, right? Man, somebody lost their mind. They're wearing that which pertains to a man. Well, Moses was wearing a dress when he wrote that, okay? I mean, my goodness, you're taking it all out of context, right? You'll have some pastors that absolutely refuse to sing hymns out of that little red church hymnal. You know the one I'm talking about? They talk about redback singings at these churches. I know some folks that refuse to use it because they say it's a Church of God hymnal. And you will find some Pentecostal or Church of God hymns in there that sing all contrary to eternal security. I can't remember the song right off the top of my head. but it talks about if you don't keep on, it might be keep on the firing line. If you don't fight, buddy, you're going to lose and you're going to die and go to hell. Right? They'll use church hymnal or one like you got right there. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay? That's a preference. Okay? But when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible says it's not given to any private interpretation. Okay? If you select a man, he should be one that isn't afraid to preach what the Bible says. He shouldn't be afraid to preach on sin, and that's a disgrace in the sight of God, no matter what the sin might be. All right? It don't matter if it's homosexuality. The Bible calls it sodomy. Right? He should be bold enough to say so. It don't matter if it's abortion and you in a church full of Democrats. He should be bold enough to say, bless God, you don't vote for somebody that's going to kill babies. Right? He should be bold enough to call sin out when he sees it. Fornication. Hey, buddy, you don't fornicate and you're not a member of this church while you're in the act of it. Right? He's got to be bold enough to implement church discipline. But all based on this book. And this book right here. I've seen it several times and I've heard of even worse occasions. It'd take forever to find a preacher. People finally just get to a point where they're desperate and they vote in the first guy that comes along that'll take it. And then that preacher leads them down a road that just runs to destruction. Now then, they might build their membership. They might have more tithes and offerings falling in the plate. But that preacher won't preach the Word of God. And if somebody comes through that back door that's got a large pocketbook, he'll do whatever they say. There was a church that just had a split back close to home, right? The Sunday school teacher from the came down out of the pulpit because all he was doing was ranting on the coronavirus. Somebody from the audience said, I thought we were supposed to be going over Corinthians. He marched down there, told them he was going to whip their you-know-what right there for all the congregation to hear, right? But he had a thick wallet. So all the folks sided with him and kicked the others to the side, right? All because that fellow wanted to know why they weren't studying Corinthians. Man, he's just said what everybody else should have been bold enough to say, and you know they were thinking it, right? Well, that was somebody, including their pastor, who wasn't willing and bold enough to stand by the Word of God when it came to such matters. Right? All because somebody had deep pockets. You want a man that will preach the Word, that will teach the Word of God as it's intended to be preached and taught. You don't want somebody that will come in and change. I mean, yeah, they'll make changes. Okay? They're their own person. They ain't your last pastor and they won't be your next. Every man has their own little thing that they do or that they strive for. Their own little nicks, right? But they should all be common in the fact that they're willing to stand on the Word of God. That they're not going to compromise on sin because all of a sudden they get a phone call from their daughter one day in college saying she likes girls, right? And just keep on preaching. That they don't compromise because all of a sudden their son has become a pothead. Well, you know, God made it, and it is an herb. Yeah, well, He made poison oak too, and you don't run around smoking that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't compromise on that stuff. You don't compromise on eternal security. You don't compromise on any of those solid doctrines that we know to be sure and steadfast, that which we have learned and been assured of, right? You don't compromise on any of those, no matter who walks through that door. Somebody was telling me the other day about a Church of God couple that went to come into their Baptist church, and they didn't know they were Church of God. Well, they went to wanting to teach the young people. That way the wife wouldn't have to sit there and listen to the Baptist preacher preach, right? Ended up stirring up a whole bunch of mess. Well, that preacher had a backbone. He said, get gone, right? Know of another church, Brother Jared's dad, he was pastor in a Southern Baptist church. There was a Church of God couple in it. Well, she went to teaching in my Sunday school class, you could lose your salvation. After a little meeting, they were gone, right? You don't bend on that kind of stuff. You just suck it up, and it don't matter what everybody else thinks about it, you go on with it, right? I'm reading about Spurgeon. lately. He got caught up in what was called the downgrade controversy. And they called it the downgrade because in his thesis that he wrote against the Baptist Union in England, he said that their doctrine was on a downgrade slope, right? And he wrote against it, trying to urge them all to go back and stand on solid doctrine and not give way to the new age and evolution and everything else. Well, the Baptist Union turned against him. I think I heard this morning the vote was 2,000-6 to kick Spurgeon out. Well, he'd already separated himself, right, and removed his church from the union, but then they voted to disavow him by 2006. His friends and colleagues and his brothers in Christ that he'd served with all these years, all of a sudden, in order to keep their membership up, they start changing their doctrine, start changing the way they take the Bible to meet the world. When Spurgeon stood up against it, he found himself standing alone. Right? You need a man like Spurgeon in that aspect that's willing to stand alone as long as it's right in the Word of God. Number two, the church should expect a pastor that will live right. Now, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? So he said, your body should be a living sacrifice. It should be one where people know when your preacher's walking down the street, hey, that's the pastor of New Hope Independent Baptist Church down there around Red Level. That's a good old fella. Buddy, that joker don't turn to the right nor the left. He is a Bible thumper. The greatest compliment I ever got one time was somebody calling me that, and I said, thank you very much. Meant it for an insult, but I will proudly wear that title. Right? Amen. You need a preacher who's going to proudly wear the title Bible thumper. Right? One who ain't going to turn right or left. One that's going to live a life pleasing to God. Now then the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's basically saying, I don't need to live life like a hypocrite. Getting up and preaching to you, don't live in fornication, don't live in adultery, don't do this, don't do that, make sure you read your Bible and pray, make sure you're soul winning, make sure you're doing this and that and not this and not that, and then do contrary to it theirself, right? Ain't nothing no more detrimental to a church than a pastor who gets backslid and lives like the devil, or one who was backslid from the beginning, right? There's a church right next to my house. It's Victory Baptist Church in Childersburg. Years ago, I'm 27, so I guess it'd been 24 years ago, my parents went to that church. And there was an awful thing take place between the pastor and one of the women of the church, right? Now then, that's been 23, 24 years ago. They've had another pastor for probably 23, 24 years. He was there real quick. People still pass by, and when you talk about Victory Baptist Church, you automatically think of, oh yeah, that's where that pastor messed around with a woman in the church congregation. Right, I get ashamed sometimes to even bring it up. Be like, yeah, over at church in Childersburg. Right, can't even say the name. Because then it's like, oh, ain't that? Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's it. It's still wearing that title. Now then, can the people there now help anything that took place? No. Could the people that were there then help anything that took place? No. But they still bearing the wounds from what took place over 20 years ago. You have somebody come in here that's just living like the devil to begin with. That's why the Bible gives qualifications over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it lists that there should have a good report of them which are without. If you want to know how a Christian ought to live, go ask a lost person. They'll sum it up real good, real quick, right? Man, I can't tell you how many times when I was in the Navy, I'd have somebody walk up and say, man, if that's a Christian over there, I don't want no part of it. Brown, is that what you're talking about? It's a Christian? Because if so, ain't nothing different. That's a Baptist. We had a Baptist chaplain come over where we were deployed, and he was an idiot, right? I mean, bona fide. Couldn't stand him. I had to help him the whole time he was there. He was just on vacation, right? Oh my gosh, I couldn't go into all of it. Anyway, when he was finally gone, I don't know how many people walk up to me. They all knew I was a Baptist because I was the one leading Baptist services on the base, right? Once a month, the chaplain would come by. He'd get free reign, and then when he was gone, I'd start back, right? They'd come up and say, "Oh, so that's what a Baptist is, huh?" I'd say, "No, that's what a hypocrite is, what a sorry, low-down scumbag is. That's what that is right there." But now then, all of a sudden, all these people have a bad taste in their mouth about Baptists because of one idiot. See what I'm saying? There was a preacher years ago. We were having a revival at our church. Preacher came to preach. We didn't obviously know about any of the junk he was involved in. He got carried off in some bad doctrine. Something about you didn't have to ask for forgiveness no more after you're born again because the price was paid on Calvary for sins, past, present, and future, so there's no need to take it to the throne room. Basically an excuse to live any way he so pleased, right? Well, one night he got done preaching. We didn't know it. He went to the Fred's next door. I'm talking about across the street, and it was a tiny street, and bought him a six-pack and went back to his hotel room. We didn't know it till years later when one of the kids that stopped coming shortly thereafter, we saw them and asked why, and they were like, "Well, I saw that preacher buying that beer." I said, "Ain't nothing to that." Man, what about that? We didn't even know what the scumbag was doing, right? As far as we knew, he was still standing on the book. No, he got carried about by every wind of doctrine that blew by, apparently. And then all of a sudden we lost some folks because of that. I don't even know if they were saved because they knew what a saved person was supposed to do and not do. They knew what a preacher was supposed to not do and to do. Walk up and ask any lost person you know, "Hey, what is a Christian supposed to be like?" They'll say, "Well, they don't cuss. They don't drink. They don't do this. They don't do that. They love people. They forgive folks." Right? Now, I know we're all wrapped up in flesh and we're subject to sin. I'm not saying that. But when you're seeking out a pastor, you need somebody that's going to live right. Is he going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Is he going to roll in ill one day because he didn't sleep none of the night before? Yep. He going to bite somebody's head off? Probably. Right? Difference is that he gets right over it. You know what I'm saying? He ain't running around and he ain't getting drunk. He ain't showing himself to be just a jerk because he can all the time. You know what I mean? All right, so pastor should preach the word. He should live right. He should assume leadership in the spiritual life of the church. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Beginning in verse 28. Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." All right, pastor should assume leadership in your church. Okay? It shouldn't be the deacon assuming leadership in the church. Now then, there's two church offices in amongst the Baptist, right? That's what separates us from other folks. We have pastors and we have deacons. Anything else is just made up. Okay? I ain't saying don't hold no use. I'm just saying as far as the Bible goes, there's pastors and there's deacons. The pastor is supposed to lead the flock of God in spiritual matters. The deacon is supposed to support the pastor by going out and serving others. Right? Not bossing him around. It's not what the Bible said over in the book of Acts when he ordained all deacons. Okay? It's not the way it goes. Excuse me. even said right here in verse 30, it was talking about how some of your own selves shall rise up. You'll find a lot of times when a church is going downhill, they'll have a pastor that's got a backbone. They'll have a pastor who preaches the Word of God, yet one person thinks themselves too highly than they should and begins trying to run the show, right? And then there's a power struggle. Then folks get mad, stupid things are said. Next thing you know, there's a church split, right? You got to make sure you keep yourself accountable in that aspect, that you let the pastor lead in spiritual things. Now then, if he decides to bring in one Sunday an NIV and start preaching out of that instead of a King James, now you ought to say something, okay? If he decides to start preaching, oh, you know what, I found out you can lose your salvation. All right, now then, some changes need to take place, all right? But if he gets up and he says, we're going to have a fall festival, we're going to try to tell everybody that comes to this thing about Jesus, right? That's a spiritual matter, ain't it? It's an evangelistic ministry. You always going to have some bo-dunk. Oh my goodness. I've been having a fight some lately. A Pharisee that made up in their mind that, oh, that ain't of God. It's around Halloween. Yeah, well, the devil took Christmas and Thanksgiving from us. Why not take Halloween from him? Bless God. I ain't talking about hanging up no pumpkin or jack-o'-lantern or none of that junk. What I am talking about is giving some candy to some kids and saying, Jesus loves you, and drop a track in the sack. Know what I mean? He says, we're going to have a trunk or treat. Ain't going to be no nothing aimed at the devil. We're going to win souls. Somebody's going to rise up, bless God, that ain't a God. I tell you what, ain't got no biblical foundation upon it, right? Preacher says, we're going to have that. Well, that's leadership and spiritual things. You follow him. He says, we're going to break Sunday school up into 15 different classes. And there's one person per class and one teacher. That's going to be awful awkward, but he's the one leading it. Just shut up and do it, right? I mean, my goodness. He's supposed to lead. You ever heard that saying, you got too many chiefs and not enough Indians? You ever experienced it? It's horrible. When we were deployed, we literally, in the Navy, you got Navy chiefs. That's their rank. We had way too many chiefs, right? Everybody was trying to make their own rules, and we couldn't keep up. Even the CO felt sorry for us and went to moving them around where they couldn't all boss us around all the time. Because it was like, man, there ain't enough Indians for all y'all to be hanging around here. You got a bunch of folks throughout the congregation start standing up, well, I think I'll be done like this, and we all do this and that. Ain't nothing wrong with throwing an idea, okay? But if the pastor knows how the Lord is leading him in spiritual matters, you follow the pastor. Because the Lord's going to talk to him. He ain't going to come tell you, hey, you know what? We're going to change up the form of service this morning. We're going to have a testimonial service. Go tell the preacher. No, he ain't going to do that, right? The Lord has a chain of command just like anywhere else does. You don't go to work and walk up and tell the boss man, hey, you know what? I think we're only working 7 to 3 today. All right? Or I think we're going to change it up tomorrow and work 7 to 5 so we can go ahead and get those extra 2 hours and not have to come in tomorrow. You don't do that, do you? No, the Lord will speak to the preacher. He'll say, all right, this is how I want this to go down. I want 2 songs instead of 1. I want 3 songs instead of 2. I want no songs this morning. We're just going to preach. I'm a song leader at our church. I don't know how many times I've walked up, preacher say, nah, we're just going to preach, brother. Like, all right. Sit my tail down and listen. Right? Because the Lord's driving him. He's the one telling him what to do. Ain't me. I don't want to stand up, stand accountable to God for that. Him say, dummy, I had you a pastor there to lead you, and you kept trying to get ahead of him. Right? You want a man that's going to lead in spiritual matters. You don't want that on you. If the Lord ain't called you to pastor, man, if the Lord don't ever want me to pastor, okay, I'm going to leave all that responsibility to somebody else. Right? Hey, brother, I ain't answering to him on this one. It's all you. Right? None of me. Not on this. Man, it should relieve a burden to know I ain't got to worry about that. It's all on the preacher. Right? The Lord has done that for a reason. when it gets messed up is when we get out of line and we start jumping how the Scriptures say we ought to do it, right? So the church should expect the pastor to preach the Word, to live right, and to assume leadership in the spiritual life of the church. What the pastor should expect the church to do, number one, is receive and accept the Word of God. The Bible says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You are to, the preacher ought to be able to expect his congregation to accept the word of God as exactly that, the word of God. Now then, I've never pastored a church, okay? I was the head of a pulpit committee when I was 18 years old, and whichever one of y'all was on that, I feel for you, bud. All of you, whoever's part of it, it stinks, right? It's a pain in the rear trying to just find somebody to call, let alone find somebody to take the pastorship. You feel like a burden's been lifted if you can find somebody just to fill in one service, and then you're like, hey, you good for a month? Can you just come on and keep coming till I can find somebody else down the road, right? Look here, I have preached a little bit everywhere, though. I've preached North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Guam, Romania, a little bit everywhere. One thing I found that is common amongst pastors, amongst lay preachers, evangelists, whatever, even missionaries, is that it is a huge discouragement and an aggravation when the people won't accept the Word of God. They just don't, right? Now, I'm nothing. I'm a big old zero with a center punched out. Don't think I'm trying to tell you I'm somebody special, because I'm not. Okay, I've told y'all before, I'm not good at anything. I know a little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing, right? I'm never going to be a master electrician or a master tradesman of any sort. I ain't. If my car breaks down on the way home, I will have to call a tow truck if it's anything more than a flat tire. I don't even know what to look at. I pop it, and I can check the fluids. And that's as far as it goes, right? But what I do know is what the Lord tells me to preach. Most of the time, you don't know why you're having to do that. This morning, I can't necessarily tell you why, but I know it's what He wants me to preach, teach on, right? Later on, in the worship service, it's what the Lord told me to preach. You can get mad, you can lump it or love it, I don't care. It's what the Lord told me to do, all right? And when you get up and you preach something with all your heart, and you know that was the word of the Lord delivered to His people, and they sit down there and they cross their arms, they're like, I wish He'd shut up. It's like, man, I don't preach much longer than 30 minutes, no way. Now, if Hunter was doing it, you might need to tell him to shut up, right? He's a little long-winded. I'm kidding. He is long-winded, though. He'll hold you hostage, won't he? Anyway, y'all can tell him I said that. I don't care. Anyway, you get up and you preach something. It might be 15 minutes long, and it's solid, and it's the Word of God. Can't tell you how many times somebody walk up and be like, that was so good, and I'm thinking, I was preaching to you. I know. Good and well, God intended that one for your sorry rear. And you ain't listened to nothing. If you did, you wouldn't have loved it. You'd been in the altar, not over here. That was such a blessing. And it's like, now you're lying. Did we not just preach online 3 minutes ago? I know you didn't love it. I can read faces, right? Look, one thing I did get out of the Navy as an MP is I learned to read body language. Pretty well, right? I can pick somebody out of a crowd and say, that one's trouble, that one's carrying, and that one don't want to be here. I think I got that part down, right? When you're preaching and they're sitting there rolling their eyes at you, it's a pretty good indication. I mean, I think that one's worldwide, right? You roll your eyes and you ain't caring about what's being said. And they just don't take any heed to it. Or you're preaching somewhere where some lady in the church changed diapers in nursery 25 years ago. I remember changing your diapers. Well, glory to God, it got changed. Now then, the Lord is trying to spank you and you ain't going to listen because I changed your diaper. Right? Go in. The Bible says prophets are not allowed honor but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Right, buddy? If any of the Bible is true, it's that one. I cannot preach nowhere I got family without just being, oh, listen at him preach. Don't he do just such a wonderful job? Buddy, he done got the homiletics down. They probably don't even know what that word means. They'll say, homo what? You called me a what? No, I said homiletics. Sounded like you called me a queer or something. No, I said homiletics. Right? Or they'll say, oh man, I remember hearing your granddaddy preach. All right, you remember hearing his daddy preach or my daddy preach? I don't care. I ain't none of them. One thing my dad did teach me right was he said, son, when you start preaching, you don't preach like me. You don't preach like your granddaddy. Don't preach like the pastor or nobody else. You preach as God intends you to preach and leave it alone. Right? He said he called you for a reason, because you're Jacob Brown, not because you're James Brown. Yes, my dad is a white man with a black man's name. Okay? Get up, preach. Oh man, old brother Johnny just loved to hear you. You preach just like him. And they ain't never told me that, but I've heard them tell my daddy that. You just like your daddy. And he's like, oh wonderful. Nobody heard a word I said. They were listening for Johnny the whole time I was preaching. I've heard him gripe and bellyache over that my entire life. Under God, walk in, preach somewhere and tell them what the Lord says, and all they worried about is if I'm going to preach like my daddy. I'm like, yeah. I go preach somewhere, all they worried about is if I'm going to preach like my daddy or Richard Horton, right? Somebody told me, you sound like a mix of your daddy and your pastor. Well, I guess that's all right, but were you listening to the Word of God, right? It's aggravating as it gets. Somebody listen to you preach, hear what you say, and yet not hear what you say. Get up, tell them, hey, thus saith the Lord. Buddy, you've had a burden for 3 weeks and can't get rid of it, and you're scared to death to get up and preach because you know you're about to make half the congregation mad, but you know it's what the Lord wants you to do, and you get up, you do it anyway, and they just sit there like a deer in headlights. Oh, he must be talking to the people on that side of the church, because it couldn't be me. And I'm like, shut up, it is you, man. Just listen. So look, receive and accept the Word of God. The pastor should be able to expect church people to do that. He should be able to expect them to be united in purpose and love each other. The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, it says how wonderful it is when brethren can dwell together in unity. Ain't nothing no worse when they dwell together in discord. Right? He ain't going to be able to do a whole lot if you ain't united. Now then, you ain't all going to have the same taste. Some people love a hacking preacher. They love it when a preacher gets up, the Bible says in John 3:16. Others hate it and despise it. Right? I've heard them say he hacked 512 times, sat there and counted every time he done it. Some people don't like that. Right? Some people don't like Just As I Am as an invitation song. They prefer Amazing Grace. Some folks don't like hunting. Some folks don't like Alabama football. Right? But you can come together and agree on the fact that you want to worship the Lord God Almighty and tell others about Him. Clarence Sexton defined a church as a group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together for the purpose of delivering the Great Commission, right, which is to win souls. Summed up perfectly. We all going to be different on different stuff, right? But you can come in and you can be united on the fact that you want to win souls, that you want to see the Lord glorified and His book preached, right? Everybody can agree on that. Folks get to hammering on cliques and worrying to death about it. Man, you got your own clique, whether you realize it or not. Most cliques, ain't nothing to it. I like to hunt. Any man in here who likes to hunt, we have something to talk about. Right? Glory to God. I like to fish. Any man in here who likes to fish, I got something to talk about with you. If you like to build stuff, I'm out. I ain't got no clue. Okay? I can't get on board with you. If there's three carpenters in the church, them three carpenters are going to be buddies. Right? And the three hunters are going to be buddies. The three fishermen. You get what I'm saying? Well, glory to God, it's a click. Man, just shut up, mind your own business, and be united in the fact that you love the Lord, you want to win souls, and you want to hear the Word preached. Right? All right. He ought to expect his folks to be forgiven. You can find that in Ephesians 4, 31, 32. We're going to hurry up for the sake of time. All right, look, he's going to mess up some way, form, or fashion, whether it's something significant or not. Like we said earlier, he may get up on the wrong side of the bed and walk in and chew you out. One of my step-uncles, I heard that when he was pastoring, if he walked in with his white shoes, you better buckle up. He's about to rip everyone apart, right? It's going to get bad. He might walk in and chew your head off. He might walk in and he might have to chew somebody out for a purpose because sin has creeped in the camp, right? People be like, well, bless God, he ought not have done that in front of everybody. Well, the Bible says if a man have sin, rebuke openly before all that others may fear also. It's Bible, right? But today you got a bunch of snowflakes. Well, bless God, you're supposed to praise in public and punish in private. Well, that's contrary to the Scriptures, right? He said, rebuke before all that others may fear also. That's why if you would bring a gallows back, start making people swing from that joker, others would fear also, and they wouldn't run around killing folks, running around raping folks, right? Man, the Bible's been right on this stuff all along, and we just don't want to listen. He ought to expect them to forgive him, and he ought to expect them to forgive each other. Right? We could spend a whole message on that one. All right, he should be able to expect the church to bridle their tongues, to restrain it. You'll find that in James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says the tongue is a little member. Oh, what a little fire can do. My neighbor's house caught fire one time because of a candle fell over in the carpet. That's a little fire. Burned down a whole house. Right? He ought to expect folks to keep their mouth shut. If you don't like what he's doing, if it's not against the Word of God, y'all just keep it to yourself. Because if you don't, now then you're going to spread like wildfire in the church and everybody's going to be hating on him. Or on the person sitting next to you or across from you. If people would keep their mouth shut, there wouldn't be no trouble in the church. All right, and then finally, he should expect them to support him financially. And again, I ain't got no dog in this fight, right? But I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:11, he said, we've fed you with spiritual things. How bad is it if we expect you to feed us with carnal things? Right? Luke chapter 10, verse 7 says, a laborer is worthy of his hire. You go to work, you get a paycheck at the end of the week. Now then, if you got somebody that comes in full-time versus part-time, salary's going to change a little bit, right? I was reading about Spurgeon, how in his pastor's college, whenever somebody would mail him requesting someone to come potentially be their pastor, Spurgeon would inquire before ever suggesting anybody. He'd be like, how much are you going to pay him? Somebody mailed him back and offered a salary so ridiculous that he replied, you might as well try to hire Gabriel because he has no need for food, no need for shelter. He could come down from heaven and go in the morning and go back that evening. And he has no need for transportation. It's the only pastor you're going to be able to find at that price. Right? Man, folks today will starve a pastor to death. Right? How much does it cost you to live? It's going to cost him pretty close the same. Yet everybody expects him to live on crumbs. You know what I'm saying? When I was at boot camp, I had a chief who just ranted and railed over preachers having so much money and this and that. Of course, he was also black. And y'all know how black churches do it, buddy. They do it up. They treat them above and beyond, right? He said, man, that preacher rolling around in a Mercedes. I'm thinking, buddy, your pastor a whole lot different than my daddy because we were rolling around in a Toyota, right? And it was used, okay? With my stepdaddy, we rolling around in whatever piece of junk come off the whoever gave it to us, right? It'd run around for about a year and it'd break down. Pray to God another one come by. Pick up and roll again, right? How are you going to expect somebody to properly preach to you and pastor you and lead you if they're struggling to feed themselves? I ain't telling you, there's any certain figure, right? It differs from man to man, from church to church, all that stuff, right? There's different scenarios that can play into that. So you have other means of income. So you're retired, this, that, other things. You can't expect them to live on minimum wage. Gas done shot up $3.50 some places. How are you going to expect him to get to church? How are you going to expect him to feed himself and his family if he's got one? How are you going to expect him to go soul winning and do his job the way he's supposed to? How are you going to expect him to go to the hospitals and visit you when you're sick and got the Rona? Right? All right, that's all I got. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again, thank you for being so good, loving us, and dying for us. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning, that we may better serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.